Hey, all right. Good morning. You can be seated. Come on, who's glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Yeah, come on, me too. If you got your Bible with you this morning, turn to Mark chapter 4 and then just be patient. We'll get there. And before we do, I feel like the Lord just wants me to release something over some of you this morning, just so interesting. And I hope that it's not super cheesy, but my phone was in my pocket. Well, let me back up. In worship, the Lord took me to Isaiah chapter 61. And I was contemplating coming up and just sharing a couple of scriptures from there during worship as the worship team was just singing about the freedom that we have in Jesus and that in his presence there's liberty. And my phone was in my pocket and it was active, and when I got it out, it had pocket texted my wife, which is a dangerous thing. But it had pocket texted my wife this little phrase, in all caps, TGIF. And I'm just telling you how it happened. Like, right when I looked at it, the Holy Spirit just prompted me and said, thank God it's free day. And so, listen, I want to read this to you, and I just want to encourage you with some things this morning. Some of you this morning that are here in this place, and there's some bondages. There's some strongholds. There's some weights that you're carrying. I believe, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And you need to hear it this morning. There's some of you that are carrying some stuff, and you've been saddled with some stuff, and the heart and the will of God is for you to be made free and to be made whole. And Isaiah 61, which is a significant passage to the vision of our church, says this: the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me. And by the way, this is prophetic about the Messiah, Jesus, but it's a prophetic picture of now the anointing that you and I walk in as believers, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So this is for you. This is for me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Recently, when I was studying this passage, the Lord just began to unpack that for me. There's two words there, captives and prisoners. And I had never caught it before that there's a distinction. Those are two different groups of people. There are people who are captive. You've been held captive. You've been held captive. Something that you didn't ask for, something that you didn't deserve, something that somebody said, something that somebody did has put you into captivity. And then there's prisoners, and a lot of times there's some stuff. We don't even need people or the enemy. We do some stuff. We mess our own life up by rebellion and poor decisions, and we put ourselves in a place where there's judgment. There's a prison that we put ourselves in. And here's the good news this morning. Whether you're a captive because of something that's been done to you that you never deserved to ask for, or whether you're a prisoner because of some of the choices you've made in life, God loves to set people free. Amen? So just receive that this morning, and I think the Holy Spirit just wanted to underline for some of you something that he did in some of your hearts this morning as we were worshiping. The reality that you've been in is not the reality that God's going to lead you into. He's going to set you free. I mean free and free indeed. Not a revised life, not a modified Christian existence. Some of those things, those weights and chains and bondages, he wants to set you free, amen? All right, well, it's good to be with you this morning, and I'm just so honored and grateful to be a part of what God's doing in our church family and in our city, and especially in this legacy season where God's calling us to look back and to remember some of the ways that God's moved, some of the special things that he's done, even as he's stirring faith for what he desires to do in our future. And just so grateful, just so thankful for this season. My heart's just been moved by the legacy film and by the faith that God's stirring. Some of the ways that he's reminding us of things that he's done before that he desires to do again in our lives and in our church and in our city. And in this season of fresh faith, God's stirring faith for how he wants to use us as a family, for how he wants to impact our city from within our church family. And in this season of that faith stirring, he's calling us to some things. He's calling us to some changes. He's calling us to some steps of faith. And you see the posters out there where we're believing God to provide for our ability to renovate and update this facility. And he's calling us to step out into some things and into faith. And so there's some changes. But in the midst of change, I want to encourage you, there's some things that must never change. Jesus as the center of our faith, the only way, the only truth, the only life. God's word is the foundation of our lives and of our ministry and of our message. And family and relationships is a centerpiece of our vision and our purpose. So in some ways, the changes that God's calling us to are some things being recaptured and revisited and restored. And as I watched the legacy film, this church began with what was described as a Jesus movement of a people that began to read in God's word and be filled with his love and set free from the past and began to believe that he was who he said he was and he would do what he said he would do. And they began to be filled with the Holy Spirit to the point where they had no choice but to begin to share and to begin to speak and to begin to reach others. How many of you know that that's what the world needs today, a movement of Jesus? It doesn't need the world doesn't need just a slightly better church. The world doesn't need a better organization. The world needs Jesus Christ. And the world needs the people of God and the family of God and the churches that believe in Jesus Christ to once again begin a movement of inviting and welcoming people to encounter and experience the living God in a way that you only can through Jesus Christ. So in the midst of change, there's some things that must never change. God will be the center of what he's doing. We have to embrace the changes, but in some ways, some things will never change. But we have to be willing to walk in step with him and to welcome the new. We serve the God who never changes, but he's always making things new. Revelation 21, verse 5 says, he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And listen, almost every time in our lives, in our marriages, in our churches, to step into the more that God has in store for you, you've got to embrace the new that God's calling you to. There's some new steps, some fresh steps. Sometimes it's some things restored. Sometimes it's getting back to some things that you once knew and you once pursued and you once did. There are some simple foundational things, just the honoring of God's word and the commitment to be part of God's family and the daily commitment to be in his presence and to visit God's word and to be a person of prayer and worship and personal communion outside of Sundays and Wednesdays. Sometimes there's just some simple steps that God is calling us to that for you might be a revisiting, or for some of us, it might be a new step, a next step to step into the more that God is calling us to. Sometimes we must step into the new. When God brings about something new, listen, when God's changing your life and our church, when God does those things, he's not doing it for the sake of change. He's aligning you. He's aligning us for his will. He's positioning you. He's positioning us for his purposes. Isaiah 43 says this, and by the way, if you got the notes, I accidentally typed it as Isaiah 53, but it's Isaiah 43. And it says, this is what the Lord says, who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The God who never changes sometimes wants to do something new in me and in you. Listen, but here's what I understand, and especially in this season where God's calling us to even embrace a new name for our church family. We'll do that next Sunday. Change can be difficult. We can get comfortable with the ways that God has done things before in our lives. And that's what Isaiah 43 is saying. He's even speaking to some of the ways that he delivered his people, and he's saying, that's the way I did it before, but now I still am delivering you. I still am connecting you to my purpose, to my promises for you, but there's a new thing. There's a new way. Change can be difficult. Listen, I especially today, as we look forward to next week, I just want you to understand if there's some difficulties that you're experiencing, especially as it regards the changing of the name of our church, if there's some emotions that you're feeling, can I just set you free this morning? That's perfectly okay. Sometimes change can be difficult. Sometimes there's emotions that can be associated with it. I want to give you some space. I want to just, as your pastor, I just want to give you the liberty and the freedom to just, even in some ways, mourn some of the changes and to look back and celebrate. But here's what I want to encourage you with. Don't allow your emotions to override the faith that God wants you to live by. Whether it's regarding this situation or anything in your life, we cannot. We walk by faith and not by sight. We must hear and see what God is doing and listen to what he's speaking and begin to walk it out by faith. But listen, change can be difficult. And this morning, I was sitting in my office and I was looking and reading over my notes and I had kind of finished up and I was just having some prayer and worship time. I had my worship turned up there and it was a good song that I really enjoy worshiping to. And man, I was like having me a special Jesus moment, you know. And really worshiping, and there was a little knock at my door, and I said, come in, and it was locked, and so I got up from my desk, and I went over, and I unlocked it, and it was my son, Aaron, my 10-year-old boy, and he was coming to my office to look for his Bible, and he said, Dad, I'm looking for my Bible, and I said, son, it's right over here, you left it on my couch, and he just came in, he had donuts in hand, you know, a couple of them, and glaze on his face, you know, And so he was just getting his Bible, and he was going to hustle out, you know. And I was like in this Jesus moment, you know. I mean, the presence of God was real. I mean, I was just like in this special place. And I said, Aaron, come here before you leave. Come here. And I said, set that down. And I just held him. I just pulled him close to me, and I just held him and just hugged him. I mean, longer than he was probably comfortable with. Tighter than he was probably comfortable with. And I kissed him on the back of the head, and I kissed him on his neck. And I just started speaking into his ears. I held him tight, and I just said, son, I love you so much. And I'm so proud of you. And by the way, if you've never had a dad to do that for you and with you, there's a heavenly father that wants to embrace you. And there's a spiritual father in this house that wants to be a model of what it looks like to be a godly dad to you. And if you never had a dad that was willing to do that for you, you need to have grace for them. The generation that many of our dads grew up in had some real challenges. And so a lot of them came back from wars that they fought and different things. And we need to have grace for them and understand where they were coming from. They were doing the very best that they could. We need to forgive them. And here's what we need to do. We need to understand that that's the call of God for us. And let me encourage you with something this morning. It's never too late to start to do the right thing. And if you're a dad or you're a mom, you're a parent, I want to encourage you, it's never too late to start doing the right thing. Go hug those precious babies. I don't care if they're 40 years old. Go hug them. Go hold them. Go speak life over them. Go tell them how much you love them. In spite of their weaknesses or challenges that they're experiencing in life, come on. So I was holding Aaron and just, probably longer than he cared to, you know, and it was this special moment, you know. I mean, I had a tear in my eye. I had donut glaze that had made it from his face onto my jacket right here, you know. And I held him and I let him go and I just said, I love you, son. And he said, hey, Dad. And my computer was on in the background right here and he goes, hey, Dad. And I was expecting him to say something really deep and spiritual and profound. And he said, you really should upgrade to Google Docs. He said, Microsoft Word is so outdated. He said, and Google Docs has fewer buttons. And he said, it's much more simple and clean outline for you to do word processing. And he said, it saves automatically as you work, and you have access to it remotely from anywhere on the internet. And I said, thank you, son, but I'm never changing from Microsoft Word. I like the way it is. I like the buttons. I'm familiar with it. I'm comfortable with it. Come on, change can be difficult. Change can be difficult. Listen, we must honor the past, honor the past, honor the past. You've heard me say it. You've seen the legacy movie. That was the heart of it all, but we must not worship it. God is alive. He's living. He's active. He's on the move. And in our personal lives and in our church, come on, let's not get stuck. Let's move with him. Let's move with him. And I'm reminded of something that Pastor Nick Willem said in his book, The History of the Mustard Seed. And he said, for a movement of God to avoid becoming a monument, there must be fresh winds of the Holy Spirit. And listen, if we miss it as a church, if I miss it as your pastor, I want us to fail forward. Not fail because of inaction caused by doubt, caused by selfishness, caused by fear, or caused by us establishing a monument for what God's already done. We're grateful for what he's already done, but he's not finished with us. And so in this season, listen, lean in. Keep moving. Don't let the enemy put you on the sidelines. Don't let the changes and don't let the new things put you on the sidelines. Listen, if there's anything, there's something that's put you on the sidelines, I'm encouraging you this morning. Hear me as your pastor, your coach. Get back in the game. Get back in the game. Get back in the game. Come on. Get back in and keep shooting. You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Get back in the game and swing for the fences. Get back in the game and keep shooting. Maybe the shot you thought was going to fall didn't fall. Come on, I'm passing you the ball again. Keep shooting. Don't let the enemy put you on the sidelines. Listen, we're the people of God, and God is with us, and he's for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? And in my own life and in my own family, I'm so grateful that God brings change. I'm so grateful that in the places where there was sin and there was shame and there was guilt and there was condemnation in my life, he changed my heart, and he made me free. And listen, even in the good things, the places where I've had victories, the places where I've seen God move, I'm so grateful he's not done with me. He's not done with me. There's more. There's the next. He's a God of increase. Can I encourage you with something? He even expects increase. If you read the parable of the talents and the parables of the minas, I'm chasing a rabbit a little bit. I know I am, but he expects increase. To the one who he gave, he entrusted something to, and they were fearful, and they held on to it, and they just kind of, do you know they didn't even lose it? They just held on to it out of fear of losing it. And he came back, and he chastised them. But to the ones who took what he put in his hand, and the ones that took it, and they began to sow it and invest it and believe God to increase it, he rewarded them. God expects increase. Are you in Mark chapter 4? If you're there, say I'm there. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 is where we'll start. And Jesus is talking, and he says, he also said, I guess he had said something just before. I know he had. In fact, he's talked about seeds and sowing twice already in this chapter. He says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or get up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. And again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when planted, look at your neighbor and say, when planted, it grows and it becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Listen, God's calling you and he's calling me and he's calling us as a church to a lifestyle of sowing. To a light, what is the kingdom of God like? It's like a man who scatters seed. It's like a man who takes what he has in his hand and says, God, I'm thankful for what you've already done, and I'm thankful for what you put in my hand. But I know that you expect increase from me, and so I'm scattering the seed that you've put in my hand, and I'm believing that you're going to bring increase. It's a lifestyle. Listen, regarding the name Mustard Seed Church, I believe that our church was prophetically named the seed. I believe it was prophetically named the seed. A shaggy-haired, messianic Jewish college kid reading his Bible one day came across this passage. It was not an elders meeting. It was not a vote, a committee. The Lord just spoke to him and just said, that's what you're to be called. You're a seed. They're a small group of people. This is what Bob Mendelson told Pastor Eli and I as we had lunch at Johnny's Tavern. Praise God for Johnny's Tavern. We were eating our burgers and chewing on onion rings, and Bob just starts saying, hey, would you guys like to know how the church was named? We said, sure. You heard Pastor Eli mention in a legacy video, and he just starts to get in. We didn't even have to ask him, and he just starts to get in and just saying, it was real casual. I was just reading my Bible one day, and the Lord just spoke to me and just said, that's what you're to be, because you're a small group of people that I desire to increase. So we went down, and he ordered a rubber stamp, and he went home, and he found his tracts that they had been handing out on Mass Street and all around town, because this was a Jesus movement that they were beginning, and they started stamping the mustard seed on all the tracts. And a Jesus movement became a church that brought life to a city and continues to this day. But I believe it was prophetically called the seed. See, in our perspective, we see things like 45 years is a long time, but in God's perspective, it's just a moment. And I believe that what he's already done in our church, what he's already done in us, come on, we should be grateful for it and thankful for it. We should have an attitude of gratitude. The pathway to the next and the new and the more of God is always faithful stewardship and gratitude for what God's already done and put in our hand. I'm grateful, we're grateful, we're grateful, we're grateful, but God's not done. And we're prophetically, I believe, named a seed. I believe that the heart and the spirit and the DNA of this church, which is a movement of Jesus in this city, people radical for him, people willing to share, people willing to give, people willing to dare to step out and believe God, that DNA is the DNA that's in the seed that God wants to become a tree. Listen, in God's economy, a seed bears a tree, which bears a seed, which bears a tree, which bears seeds, which bears more trees, which bears more seeds, which bears more trees. There's constant increase that God desires for us as a church. God works in times and seasons. I believe we are prophetically named a seed, and the tree that God is building is forever connected to the DNA of the seed. It's that Jesus movement. And listen, new names are significant to God. New names are significant to God. Listen, if you read the Bible, you'll see quickly that God is not opposed to giving things new names. He's not opposed to giving people new names. Oftentimes when God would be leading someone out of a season and into a new season of destiny and purpose in God's kingdom, he would deliver to them a new name. Isaiah 62:2 says, "The nations shall see your righteousness, all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give." And Revelation 3, verse 12 says, "The one who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and my own new name." And Revelation chapter 2, verse 17 says, "To the one," listen to this, this is amazing to me. Revelation 2, verse 17 says, "To the one who is victorious," come on, by Jesus' blood, that's you and that's me, "I will give him the hidden manna, and I will also give him a white stone inscribed with a new name known only to the one who receives it." Listen, one of the blessings of heaven is that when you meet Jesus, he's got a white stone waiting for you, and he's going to turn it around, and when you meet him, he's going to show you what your real name is. Some of you are really glad that you have a different name than the one that you than your parents gave you, you know. One of the curses of hell is that you never get to know your real name. I'm grateful. I'm going to get the chance for God to welcome me and hopefully say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Say, a lot of people put brands on you. A lot of people called you different things. A lot of people knew you as different things. But I'm your father, and I created you, and here's what I call you. Can you imagine that moment? He's not afraid of new names. The lives of people entering a new season of purpose and calling. Abram became the father of faith named Abraham, and Sarai became Sarah, and Jacob became Israel, and Simon became Peter, and Saul became Paul. Listen, while God is speaking to us corporately, and it's a strategic season as a church, listen to me. I believe that this is a year, this is a time, this is a season of grace to embrace some new names in your own life. I'm preaching a visionary message that's applicable to us corporately, but listen, there's a heart behind this that's applicable to you, where you are, where your marriage is, where your life is today. There's some things by which you've been known. There's some things that people have branded you with. There's some things that you've even taken ownership of and thought about yourself. And today, God wants to begin to stir faith, and he wants to begin to set you free, and he wants to begin to speak his new name over you this morning. It's a time of grace to embrace. Spiritually and prophetically, there's some new names practically that God wants to begin to declare and speak over you that will lead you into a new season of purpose and destiny, a new season of freedom and breakthrough. Aren't you glad that you're not stuck with all the names that people have tried to put on you? Aren't you glad that whatever situations and circumstances that you have, listen, every situation and circumstance has a name. Every sickness, every disease, every mindset, every thought, we've given it all a name. We make it a diagnosis. Everything has a name, and you serve the God that is above every name. There are identities, there are limitations that the enemy would like to brand you with for eternity. He tries to hang around your neck. He tries to imprint on your soul like a scarlet letter upon your soul. And the Spirit of God wants to come today and say, that's not who you are. And the blood of Jesus has made a way for all things to become new. And where you're this morning because of something that you didn't deserve to happen to you, where you've been made a captive, or where you're this morning because of choices and rebellion in your life or fear in your life, this morning the grace of God and the blood of God stands eternally to come and speak a new name over you. Listen, where you're this, God wants you to be this. Where you're at today, it's not where God wants you to be tomorrow. What are some of those names in your life? What are some of those names in your life? Come on, some of you are really acquainted with it. Some of you might have to just sit with the Holy Spirit and just ask him, what are some of those names in your life? What are some of those identities? What are some of those things that have been spoken over you or you've been labeled with or saddled with? What are some of those things that you've even spoken or embraced over yourself or thought about yourself? I don't light up with God's heart for you. Listen, when the reality of who Jesus is and what Jesus had done for him became reality to him, Simon became Peter, the rock. And I'm telling you this morning, when the reality of what Jesus has done for you and what he's made possible for you and the power of the blood of Jesus over your life and over that situation and that name becomes a reality to you, whenever people begin to ask you who is Jesus in your life and you no longer just think he's a good man, he's a prophet, some say this, some say this, but you begin to know him as Lord and as Savior personally, not in your mind but in your heart. When that begins to happen for you, he'll begin to change the names that the world has saddled you with. He'll begin to call you by his own name. He'll begin to call you by the names that he has for you. Chosen, loved, forgiven, redeemed, a son, a daughter of the Most High God. He wants to make that a reality for you this morning. Come on. When God's Spirit got a hold of Saul, the persecutor of the church, standing by while Christians had been murdered, he became Paul, an apostolic voice to the early church. It's still today when the reality of Jesus begins to move in our life, begins to rise in our hearts, those titles and those names by which we were once known in our previous life, before God, before Jesus, before the cross, or those things that are perhaps today still weighing us down can be changed by the touch, by the love, revelation from your Heavenly Father. Listen, worship team, come up and begin and prepare to lead us as we prepare to dismiss this morning. Listen, Lawrence is known for some things today, but I believe that there's some other things that God wants Lawrence to become known by. I believe that a city that's known for some of these things over here, God wants to move and pour out his Spirit once again. God's looking for a people that will respond in faith and begin a fresh and a new Jesus movement, a revival in this city, a revival in our hearts, a revival in this church, a revival in our homes, a coming back to life that will begin to usher in the life of God into our city, a revival that will be, you hear me say it often, characterized, evidenced by many, 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 many precious people that are today separated from God or buried in the weight of their guilt and their shame and their sin. Many, many of those precious people and you and I and our homes and families being saved and set free and healed and strengthened in God's word and strengthened not just to stand but strengthened to begin to discover God's purposes and move forward in God's purposes for our life. Lawrence needs Jesus. University of Kansas needs Jesus. It needs a Jesus movement. It needs a new group of people, young and old, on that campus beginning to step out and speak up and share the word of God and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, can I just share something with you? We're called to a lifestyle of sowing, scattering the word of God. And in Genesis chapter 8, the flood has happened and God's spared the family of Noah. And like I said last week, whenever cultural chaos comes into the earth, God always is looking for a way to preserve and protect and spare his people. And in the days of Noah, he built an ark. And in our days of cultural decay, God is building his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Get in what God's building and be saved. But in Genesis chapter 8, the flood has happened and God's redeeming and restoring things, and it says, as long as the earth shall endure, there will be seed time and harvest. God's called us to a lifestyle of scattering. Let me tell you, God, there's increase that God wants to bring to your life. I don't care where you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care where. God knows there's increase that he wants to bring to your life. And can I just encourage you with something this morning? Sometimes the reason that we get frustrated is because in a season where God's calling us to sow something, to put something in faith in the ground, we're already expecting the harvest. You understand that in some seasons of your life, you're going to be called to sow. In some seasons of your life, you're going to be called to reap. In some seasons of the life, you're going to be doing some of the same. Yesterday, I was working on my yard, and I was working on a sprinkler head, and I kneeled down, and right there, there's not an oak tree. I don't know where the nearest oak tree is in my neighborhood. There's definitely not one close to me, and right there next to where I was working, and I had just tilled my yard up with a verticutter and overseeded it, and by the way, there's something really prophetically interesting about that. I mean, my yard looked pretty good, and I went in and really just kind of tore it up and overseeded it, and right now, I'm having to have faith that I made the right decision, because it doesn't look too good right now. But I'm working on it right there, and despite the fact that maybe it was even because of, in fact, it was. Think about that. If I hadn't done that, this thing might have been dug, buried 3 inches deep where some squirrel in the 70s had put it. Some shaggy-haired squirrel in the 70s. And so I had verticut, and it had stirred up this little seed, and I'm right there, and the Lord just says, pick up that seed, and I took it, and I just said, thank you, Lord. And he said, what do you see? And I said, a seed, and he says, I see a tree. You didn't know I had a tree in my pocket. I said, I see a seed, and he said, I see a tree. See, God's put destiny, God's put DNA, God's put potential in every one of you. But for the seed to become a tree, we got to put it in the right atmosphere. We got to have the faith to take what's in our hand and say, God, I recognize that if I take what you put in my hand and I'm willing to put it in the right atmosphere, if I'm willing to take a step of faith and take it out of my pocket and be willing to let go of it and put it in the right atmosphere, because of what you've established, because of this principle, and because of your amazing power and goodness, what looks like just a small seed will one day spring up and become a tree that yields a seed, that yields a tree, that yields more seeds, that yields more trees. Come on, God's calling us to kingdom increase. When he calls us to change, when he calls us to sow, he's not trying to get something out of your hand, he's trying to get something into your life. And some of you this morning, there's some things that are not of him that you're holding on to. And this morning, God says, come on, just put it in the ground and leave it. Listen, when I put a rock in the ground, it's just a rock in the ground. But when I put something that has God's potential, when I put something that God created into the right atmosphere, it springs forth and it bears fruit. There's destiny in you. There's potential in you. And some of you are hearing that this morning, and it just sounds so far off. It's like, could that really be true about me? Listen, it's true about you. It's true about you. Come on, look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, it's true. Come on, look at your neighbor that was your second choice and say, about you. There's a God-given purpose. There's a God-given destiny. There's a potential in you. Put it in the right atmosphere. Get it in the presence of God. Get it in the house of God. Cover it in prayer. Begin to water it with the word of God. Begin to pull up the weeds that would come and try to choke it and ensnare it and keep it from springing forth. Put it in the right atmosphere. There are seeds of life. There are seeds of revival. In the midst of God doing something new, in the midst of God bringing about some change, don't let the enemy put you on the sidelines. Next week, we'll celebrate a new name for our church. And let me tell you, today we're in some ways prophetically, we're sowing the seed. And we're grateful for the seed. But we're excited about the harvest that we believe God is wanting to bring. We're excited about the increase that we believe God has for the next season. It's not a better season. It's just the next season. It might not be the last time that a group of leaders in our church come together and say, all right, God, now it's a new season. How do you want us to be known? But we began to seek God fervently. I announced it back on January 1, I believe, of 2017, of this year. I said, in 2017, we believe that God's going to speak to us. We believe that God's charged us to seek him and to cry out to him that he would deliver to us the new name for our church. And we didn't know what the new name was going to be. So we gathered as an eldership and we prayed. We committed to say, God, we want to hear you. We don't want it to be the ideas of man. We don't want it to be a strategy from man. We want to hear you. And we want to be so clear about it that we're in unity about it. There's no reluctance about it. We know that you've spoken. And so we prayed. And we waited. And we listened. And we prayed. And we waited. And we listened. And we prayed, and God still wasn't speaking the name, but he began to speak some things. I was spending time with the Lord one morning in prayer for our church, and the Lord just spoke to me. He said, because I'm calling you to do this, you'll now be known as such. And he still hadn't given me the name. He just gave me kind of the context for how to begin to seek him. And God began to speak, and God began to stir faith in our leadership team, and God began to call us to see some things that he wanted to do in our church, and he wanted to expand our influence, and he wanted to revive a city, and he wanted to transform the spiritual atmosphere of Lawrence. Come on, is that seems impossible, but the word of God says that even the things that seem impossible with man are possible with who? With God. The name that we'll celebrate next week speaks of an active faith in God. God's calling you to activate. God's calling you to begin to step out. God's calling you to more than just a life of just coming to church every now and then. God's calling you more than just a life of knowing about God. He's calling you to a life of knowing him. Knowing him intimately, knowing him in a way that sets you free, knowing him in a way that begins to revive you to the life that he created you for, knowing him in such a way that begins to cause the seeds of potential and purpose to begin to spring to life, even the ones that maybe you thought it was too late, it's too far gone. God wants to breathe life upon you. The name that we'll celebrate next week, and when you show up next Sunday morning, you'll just begin to see it. Leaders and staff and spouses and elders and spouses will be wearing a t-shirt. It's going to have the name on it. Your bulletin will have the name on it. Posters in the foyer will have the name on it. It's a name that speaks to an active faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a name that speaks to our heart and our belief that regardless of the way our city looks, regardless of the way our nation looks, God's arm is not so short that it cannot save. And he desires to revive our city in Christ. So come on, stand to your feet this morning. Stand to your feet this morning. I want to minister to several groups of people. And one is, if you're here this morning and there's a weight associated with this change, I'm going to pray for you this morning. And I want to ask God. I want to trust. Again, as your pastor, that's okay. It's understandable. Can I tell you, I've pastored Mustard Seed Church for 2 years of my life in ministry, and that pales in comparison with some of you who have been here for 20, 30, 40 years of your life. So I'm not trying to compare it, but let me tell you something. I've felt the weight of the emotions. But I believe that if we'll sow the seed and we'll keep our eyes on Jesus and we'll be ruled by faith that God's calling us to, and not by our own temporal emotions, God's going to see us through to some promises that he has for us. Lord, I thank you for any hearts this morning that are struggling with the weight of this change. Lord, we just acknowledge, Lord, the beauty of the memories. We acknowledge, Lord, the significance of the season that was known as Mustard Seed Church. Father, we thank you for settling our hearts. We thank you for stirring our faith, for reminding us about some things, for reminding us about that Jesus movement that started this church, that birthed this movement, that birthed this church, God. And let us never become a monument, Lord. Let us receive, and let us even seek, and let us even cry out in faith as a people who are desperate to see you move, God. Who are desperate to see your spirit poured out upon all flesh. Who are desperate, God, to see fresh winds of revival, fresh winds of your spirit, fresh fire of God. Come and visit this place. Come and visit our homes. Come and visit our hearts. Come and revive us to life. Come and revive a city. Come and restore a nation in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for settling our hearts. Thank you for preparing the way, God. Thank you for preparing the way, God.
As Pastor Thomas was praying and ministering there, the Lord just spoke to me. And he's telling me, he says, can you imagine after I changed Jacob's name to Israel, all of his friends were saying, Jacob's kind of nutty. He's calling himself Israel now. Yeah, that's Jacob. That's that scrawny Jacob. No, that's Israel. What are you talking about, Israel? That's Jacob. Last week he was Jacob. What do you mean he's Israel? God saw Israel. Do you call Israel Jacob today? Israel birthed Jesus, the Savior. Israel became a nation that is still with us today. Israel was a faith walk for a scrawny little kid 1 week, and a nation to the next week. God said, you were known as this. Because I have this for you, you will now be called this. I've struggled and wrestled with the Lord for many months as an elder, saying, Lord, I'm listening. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to talk. No, I'm listening. Right, Clint? I'm listening, Lord. And then he spoke. Because you were known as this, because I want you to do this, plant that seed and let me do this. Allow me to do this. Allow me to do this. I want to birth a nation. I want to revive a city. I want to see lives changed. I don't need to preach, but that's it.
That's good. Jacob and Israel, one person, same person. Listen, next week when you show up, it's not a different church. It's the same church. It's the same church. The DNA of the seed is what establishes the tree. It's the same church. It's the same church family. We're not starting a new church. It's the same church. It's the same church. We just have a different identity for a different season of purpose and calling and destiny of God. It's the same church. And listen, for over 10 years, the elders of this church have been seeking God and saying, God, we're sensing you're calling us to change the name of this church. Listen, let me encourage you with something. For 10 years, they sought that. And I just believe the Lord just reminded me of that because he wants to encourage some of you this morning. There's some things that you thought were long gone. There's some things that you've been seeking God for a long time. You've been praying for a child. You've been praying for a grandchild. You've been asking God for a child. You've been asking God to heal something. You've been asking God to restore something. You've been asking God to release you to step into something for a long time. And I believe that this is a season where the reaper is going to overtake the sower. This is a season where God's going to come and he's going to begin to move and he's going to begin to expedite. He's going to begin to remind you of some things. For 10 years, the elders called out and said, Lord, and over and over they got answers, said, not for now. The timing's not right. Listen, for such a time as this, there's some things that you've had before God, and maybe it's been dormant. Maybe you've forgotten about it. And this morning, I believe, in your own life, listen, we've talked corporately, we've talked vision. I'm now talking to you and you and you and you and you as a believer in Jesus Christ who was called by his name to a kingdom purpose and a destiny. God's calling you to some things. The seeds that he's put in your life, come on, right now this morning to just present them before God. So we already prayed for the people that are just, for God to settle hearts. And now I want to pray for God to just breathe on seeds of destiny and purpose in each of our lives as believers. And I want to ask you, if you're comfortable doing so, you never have to do anything I ask you to do, but I just want you to just lift your hands before God like this. It's a response of faith. It's kind of taking, like, prophetically and just holding out the seeds of God's purpose and destiny in your life before him. And just saying, Lord, would you come and would you just begin to breathe once again? Fresh life, fresh vision, fresh purpose. Over things that were dead and dying, over things that have been dormant, over things that, listen, the seed, see, God is so amazing. He created all these different kinds of seeds. Some seeds require a fire before they become activated to spring to life. Some seeds require a lot of time before they spring to life. Some seeds require a certain amount of water. Some seeds, if you overwater them, they won't spring to life. There's unique and different seeds that God's planted in your life. And he's so good. He's so faithful. He hasn't forgotten. He hasn't forgotten. We're holding these things before you this morning, God. In our marriages, in our homes, in our health, in our finances, in our family, in the lives of our friends and family, God. We're holding these things before you, Lord, this morning. In the places where you're calling us to take things that are not of you and put them in the ground and leave them, God. The rocks that we've been carrying, God, we put them in the ground this morning. We lay them down at the foot of the cross and we leave them. But the things that are of you, the things that have kingdom purpose, the things that have kingdom DNA and destiny and purpose in Christ Jesus, we're planting those in the right atmosphere. We're bringing them back into your presence. We're bringing them back into your presence, God. We're bringing them back into the house of God. And we thank you that this is a season where you're reviving us, God. You're breathing life. You're speaking life over us. You're restoring us to some things. You're reminding us of some things, God. We're revisiting some things. Come on. Reverence for God restored. There's a culture that's out there that is turning their back on God. And I'm telling you, it might look dark, but there's hope for this city and there's hope for America. And his name is Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord. You're restoring some things. You're reviving us, God, to life again. You're calling us back to reverence for your word and reverence for your ways, God. You're calling us back to your presence where we find life and strength and freedom. Come on, going back to where God started us this morning. Freedom, freedom. There's freedom for some people here this morning. The worship team's about to sing that song once again about Jesus calling our name and us running out of our grave to the life that he has for us. Come on, Jesus came. It seemed slow. People thought, if you would have gotten here before, Lazarus might not have died. And he said, I'm right on time. And he stood outside the grave. They said, Lazarus is going to be, he's stinky dead, you know, now. And he said, I'm right on time. And he spoke the name. He said, Lazarus, you come forth. And something that seemed dead, something that had died and seemed dead came to life. It sprung to life this morning. God's speaking your name. He's speaking some new names. There's some of you this morning who have been oppressed and depressed and in bondage and in fear. And this morning, God speaks hope. He speaks life. He speaks faith. He speaks freedom in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let the people of God shout this morning in a response. Come on, let the people of God shout to God this morning. Revive us again, God. Revive us again, God. Revive us again, God. Come on, worship team, lead us in praise. And then Pastor Eli is going to come and he's going to close.